You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 2.5 million people in this state get their health care coverage through Medicaid or the Healthy Michigan Medicaid expansion. But the work requirement bill recently passed by the state Senate and now being considered by the House could mean some 100,000 people in the state could lose their health insurance. We're talking about Senate Bill 897. It requires Medicaid recipients to prove they work at least 29 hours a week in order to keep their health care coverage. But there is a certain loophole in this bill, which drew a sharp rebuke in a recent New York Times editorial written by Nicholas Bagley and Eli Savitt. Both of them teach at the University of Michigan Law School. Nicholas Bagley is here with us now. In your words, this loophole is racially discriminatory. Why?
Right. Well, it's not intentionally discriminatory. If you take the bill sponsors at face value, there's nothing in here that says we're going to treat minority communities worse than anyone else. But what the bill does is exempt from the work requirements anyone who lives in a county with more than 8.5% unemployment. And the point is, look, it's not fair to punish someone if they can't find a job. The trouble with that approach is that our big cities in the state are located in counties where the unemployment rates are much lower. But people who live in cities with high unemployment rates, like Detroit, like Flint, have car ownership rates much below the statewide average, have difficulty finding jobs in far-flung parts of the counties, and are going to struggle in a way that places them at a disadvantage relative to their white rural counterparts who are going to be exempted from this work requirement bill.
Now, State Senator Mike Shirkey is the lead sponsor of this legislation, and he told Bridge Magazine that rural residents in northern Michigan deserve more leeway in finding a job than urban residents in places like Detroit and Flint. And he said the folks in rural counties lack public transportation that could get them to a job, and their jobs are further away.
I'm not sure that Wayne County is all the much better on public transportation front. The public transportation infrastructure in Wayne County is really limited. The public transportation infrastructure in Genesee County is really limited. I'd encourage the senator to come down to these communities and try to get from the inner city of Detroit or Flint out to the surrounding countryside without cars. What's more, and this is really crucial to understand, car ownership rates in these rural counties that would be exempted from these bills are upwards of 95%, whereas in areas like Detroit and Flint, car ownership rates are, you have like 75-80% at best, and the people who don't have cars are often the very people who are eligible for Medicaid. Why don't they have cars? We have an auto insurance crisis in this state. Auto insurance rates are through the roof, and they're especially high, sometimes 3 times as high in our cities. So I don't think it's fair to say that rural residents have it easier than urban residents. I think, if anything, the reverse is true. But the important point here is that the Senate has a kind of moral imagination to think about the way that rural residents of the state might have a hard time meeting the work requirements. But they don't seem to have the same kind of moral imagination when it comes to our city dwellers. And I think that's a problem. And it's a problem that breaks along racial lines.
And, well, thinking of legal problems, what do you see here as far as possible legal problems?
Yeah, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 includes Title VI, which says that the recipients of federal funds, and that includes the states that administer Medicaid programs, they can't discriminate on the basis of race. And importantly, that doesn't just prohibit intentional discrimination, overt discrimination. It says, actually, if you adopt neutral rules, rules that seem like they're fair on their face, but have a disparate impact on minority groups, that's not allowed. And that's exactly what we have here. We've got a rule that looks like it's fair on its face, but which has a racially disproportionate impact. And that's a problem from the legal perspective.
Could you see the court stepping in if this gets all passed and is signed into law?
Yeah, I could absolutely see the court stepping in. The key here is that Michigan has to ask for permission to impose work requirements from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And when the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services thinks about this waiver, it's going to have to explain why the waiver is consistent with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. And if HHS is unable to offer that explanation or offers an unreasonable explanation, the courts can intervene and say, no, you got to go back to the drawing board and adhere to your own rules about what federal grantees can do with federal money.
Now, do you have a feeling that the Health and Human Services Department in 2018 will take that move?
Well, I suspect they are going to be pretty receptive to Michigan's effort to impose work requirements. They've already approved four states for other forms of work requirements. But I think the department will have no choice but to consider the racial impact of a request like this. And depending on what it says, Michigan's waiver could end up in a world of legal trouble.
What would be the legal fix that could be made to this bill that would accomplish what sponsors are looking for and hold legally?
Yeah. So there are a bunch of different kinds of approaches you might take to tailor the rule better. You might say the exemption from the work requirements doesn't just extend to people who live in counties with high unemployment, but also to people who live in cities with high unemployment. You could link the work requirement exemption to zip code and employment within zip codes. You could offer more refined exemptions at the individual level. You could take all sorts of different approaches to making sure this bill doesn't have the same kind of disparate impact.
What kind of response have you gotten to the editorial you put in the New York Times?
Generally positive. I think people understand the racial dynamics here in the state. They understand the places that minority communities live versus rural communities. I think folk understand how unfair this seems to exempt one group of people but not extend the same helping hand to another. State representatives in the Senate have pushed back and said, look, if we're going to ask people who live in rural counties to drive, shouldn't we ask people who live in Flint or Detroit to also drive to far-flung parts of the counties? And the trouble with that argument, again, is different car ownership rates make that a not a viable opportunity for many people who live in our urban communities.
We have reached out to three of the co-sponsors of Senate Bill 897, Senators Mike Shirkey, Senator Phil Pavlo, and Senator Wayne Schmidt. We've offered them a chance to talk about the bill here on Stateside. We have not heard back from them, but the invitation stands. In the meantime, our thanks to University of Michigan Law Professor Nicholas Bagley, who teaches in the areas of administrative law and health law. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the invite.